today is unreal. And the reality of this unreality of Pentecost was found in both of the scripture passages that were read to us this morning. For both passages talk about unbelievable possibilities. So what shall we do about it? One of the most enjoyable passages of scripture to preach from is Ezekiel 37, the Valley of the Dry Bones. It's an unbelievable story about an unbelievable God. And yet the story has truth to it that we need to hear and listen to and obey. Ezekiel, we're told, was a prophet in the Old Testament. We don't know much about Ezekiel except through this particular passage in Ezekiel 37. The situation was that Israel had been conquered by the Babylonians, and the Israelites were in exile, which means they were taken to the Babylonian country and lived under a foreign ruler. It happened in 587, and about 5 years into the exile, Ezekiel moved from rebuking the Israelite people about not obeying God to trying to deliver them. But I want us to be crystal clear about this story that Ezekiel tells. This story is a vision. This story is a picture that God painted for Ezekiel. This story is an illustration of the terrible situation the Israelite people found themselves in. Starting in verse 1, we see these words. Ezekiel was brought out by the Spirit of the Lord. It's a clear indication that this story is a vision, that Ezekiel was having a vision of what was happening to the Israelite people, that God was speaking to Ezekiel. I can't get Ezekiel and Israel right. I'm sorry about that. God was speaking to Ezekiel about the desperate situation of the Israelite people. God was having a conversation, if you will, with Ezekiel. My question to you is, do you have visions? Does God speak to you? I think many of us have visions. I think many of us have God nudging us about certain people or situations. I think many of us feel led about certain convictions on which we wonder whether we should act or not. I don't think it's so far-fetched, and I don't think it only belongs in the scriptures. For we declare that God is within us. We declare that God speaks to us. We declare that God gives us direction, because is not that what the relationship with God is all about? That interconnection between my life and God's life, between who I am and who God is to me. It's that relationship that is with us in real hard times, as well as in great, victorious, and joyous times. When did God last speak to you? When did God nudge you about your partner or about your spouse? When did God nudge you about your children, about your job, about your personal spiritual status in relationship to God? I think it happens often, at least more often than I think we give God credit for it. And many times we simply write these situations off. We don't take them seriously. We assume people will scoff at us if we tell them that God is leading me to do whatever God is leading me to do, so we hesitate. Let me suggest to you that the next time that happens, the next time that God speaks to you or nudges you, which I think happens more often, check it out. And for us as Presbyterians and in the Reformed tradition, the way we check out things is that we have them confirmed or denied through other people. We don't believe that simply because I say God spoke to me to do a certain thing, that really means God did it. We don't believe that just because you think God called you to be a minister of word and sacrament, that you stick a Bible in your arm and start preaching. We don't believe because we have real strong feelings about something that therefore it must be God speaking to us. No. Confirmation of God speaking to us comes when it's validated by other people, friends, colleagues, pastors, relatives. Or the best example for us in the Presbyterian Church is when you feel called to be a minister of word and sacrament, that's confirmed by your congregation, by your presbytery, by going to seminary, by passing ordination exams, by being approved in examination by the presbytery, by receiving a call from a congregation, all of which are examples of how the community confirms that, yes, we hear you're called to be a minister, just as you're hearing it. Same thing happens when elders are elected in the church or when church leaders come into the church. We, the session, we, the other leaders in the church, believe that you're called to do certain things. So in personal situations, when God is pushing you about a situation and you're wondering what to do, reach out to a lifeline. Reach out to someone and get it confirmed or denied that God really is speaking to you. And that in speaking to you, you're called to be about the work he's calling you to do. So the Spirit of the Lord spoke to Ezekiel. The Spirit took Ezekiel to the valley of dry bones. The Spirit of the Lord didn't just get up on the top of a ridge and say, look out there and see all those bones. No, he had Ezekiel walk through those bones. Lots of bones, numerous bones, dry bones. The bone marrow had seeped out of those bones. They had become brittle because of the weather. They were just lying there, dry and dead. So I got to thinking about how many bones are we talking about? I discovered that when you're born, you have about 270 bones in your body. And then some of those bones fuse together. So the average adult is about 215 to 220 bones in our bodies. There are 50 bones in your hands and another 50 in your feet. So half of your bones are in your hands and your feet. So when you start thinking about some people and multiply it times 220, that's a ton of bones that he's looking at, all just lying there in the valley. And God confronts Ezekiel with the question, can these bones live? And Ezekiel simply responds, you know, Lord, I don't. And that's a question we oftentimes face. Can these bones of mine live? Can they have real life? Can they come to life? For all of us have been in the valley of dry bones. Whether it's a bout we've had with depression, whether it's the loss of a child or a spouse, whether it's a divorce, whether it's getting fired from your job, getting a really bad medical diagnosis, retiring and wondering what you're going to do and how you're going to fill up your time, going bankrupt, being involved in a horrible car accident. Every one of us have been in our own valley of dry bones. Right now, we in this world are in the valley of dry bones with a pandemic, searching for answers of what's going to happen when we come out of it, asking the question, will we live again? Wondering if the church will survive, wondering if we're going to make it financially, wondering what life is going to look like in what they're calling post-pandemic era. And we have literally seen the dry bones. From trailers outside of hospitals holding dead bodies from COVID-19, to the funeral pyres in India, cremating bodies, to the people that have lost their lives because of the COVID-19 and has affected each of us. We are actually in the middle of an incredible question now that Ezekiel was confronted with. Can these bones live? We're right in the middle of a significant transition. In his book by Robert Bridges called Transitions, he suggests that transitions are rich opportunities for personal growth and renewal. His suggestion is that transitions are like when you change jobs, when you move to a new town or a new city, when there are personal changes in your life, when you get married, when you retire, when you're looking at moving into a continuing care retirement community, when you're trying to build a new house. Bridges suggested that first, something must come to an end, that life has changed and will be different. And I think we're moving in that direction with the ending of the pandemic. As a congregation, you're moving in that direction of ending temporary pastorates. Laura Sugg in Denver is moving in that direction of ending her pastorate there in her congregation. And then Bridges suggests that there's what he calls a neutral zone, a time of dislocation, a time of lack of clarity, even a time of despair and difficulty. I call it no man's land. It's the time between, a time and place you've never been before. The old has ended, but the new hadn't begun. You've given up what was, but you're not real sure what's going to be. That's where we find Ezekiel in the Valley of the Dry Bones. He's facing the reality that is no longer what it was like, but he's clueless of what's going to come next or what will happen next. The pandemic is ending, for which we're grateful, but we're not sure what post-pandemic is all about. We've had a good run with temporary pastors like Jane and Julian, and hopefully with me, and that's ending. But yet, what's going to happen next? This neutral zone that Bridges talks about is a grand opportunity to take an assessment. What have we just been through? How have things changed? What have we learned from this experience? How are we going to do things differently in the future? What will life look like after we move into the new era? Part of the vision of Ezekiel was he was smack dab in the middle of the Valley of Dry Bones. He was face to face with the hard, difficult time. He was through that reality, began to see that bone was connected to bone and sinew to sinew, and flesh was covering it all. And there were new bodies. They had moving parts. They were something different. But yet, they were not alive. They were going through the motions. They were not living life. So in Ezekiel 9, he prophesies to the bones and declared the following: "Thus says the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live." They lived, stood up on their feet, and were a great host of people because the breath of God had come into them. Reminds me of Genesis 2, verse 7. God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. God breathed into Adam. God breathed into the dry bones. God breathes into every one of us. And from that, we rise up and start to live life fully and completely. But the breath of God is only like the wind blowing. It's only like a nice breeze that goes. It's only something we experience every so often until we're willing to surrender and allow that breath to come into our lives. Whoever's about to receive that breath, whoever's willing to yield to the Spirit of God, whoever has faced these transitions in life, realizing they're a blessing and not a curse, knows God, and God dwells in them. Chapter 2 of Acts talks about a similar event occurring in Pentecost, where people from 13 different nations had gathered in one room, and they were talking in their own language, and yet they understood each other because they were willing to yield to God's Spirit, and from that, the church was born. That's God. That's how God operates. That's the miracle of who our God really is. For he never leaves us, but goes with us into the valley of dry bones and embraces that reality. He never leaves us and is with us with foreign people in a room that we don't know each other from and are able to move through that to a new life. He is with us today in the midst of our time of transition to show us a still more excellent way. That's the joy and exhilaration of God's Spirit, ever alive, ever changing, ever molding us into the new creatures and living beings that God has called us to be. That's the story of Pentecost. That's the story of dry bones. The fact that God never left us. The fact that God never will leave us. The fact that God works through crazy times in our lives to show us a still more excellent way. And to affirm again with Ezekiel what he said, "Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it," says the Lord. God has done it. God is doing it. And God is helping us to see possibilities we never thought possible before. And through that, we live our lives in praise and adoration of this God. So on this Pentecost Sunday, the Holy Spirit is unreal, but the Holy Spirit is alive. And that's what it means to be children of the living God. Let us pray. Eternal God, praise and honor and glory to you that though we may not understand, you are with us. Though we may not know all the facts, you never leave us. Though we may not be sure of our next step, you're there to walk alongside of us. So help us embrace this time of transition and realize afresh that you have new ways and new days for us through which we can give you thanks, praise, and adoration. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Our hymn is Kumbaya.